Good morning and welcome, Oceanside Community Church. Welcome to your own living rooms. I am currently in the church building with, I've been here today with just a couple other people, and I must say I really miss seeing you all in person. The pastoral team wants you to know that we think about you constantly, we love you, we miss you all, and we are praying for you. In the past few days, I've had a lot of time to try and recognize what God is trying to teach me in this strange season and what new ways he wants to use to help me feel connected to people. Because if you know me well, you'll know that I love to be around people. And feelings of loneliness and intense boredom can discourage a guy like me. And I'm really needing to lean into God for comfort right now. It's a little bit frustrating for me when I can't visit with people, something that I really love doing. But when I spend time in prayer and I spend time reading the Bible, I do feel refreshed. So I encourage you to do that in your own homes, as your home right now. I feel like I gain new insights for how I'm feeling and different ways. I discover new ways that I can invite God into those moments. And it's often in dark times like those that I gain a deeper appreciation for Jesus' light. And today's text is talking about Jesus being the light of the world. And this makes me think of my family, specifically my two oldest kids, Israel and Tally. Israel's 3.5 and Tally is almost 5 now. She'll be 5 in about a month. And right now, they love to play with flashlights. That's a thing of theirs. And we have little dollar store ones that they can use. And they love to go into their room, they'll turn off all the lights, and then they'll do one of two things. They'll either frantically wave the flashlight around so much that they can't even see anything really with the flashlights, or they will shine the flashlights directly into each other's eyes. And when they have these flashlights, when they're doing these things, there's so much joy in their hearts, it's audible. You can just hear the laughter in the room. You can hear them bumping against the walls. It's wild. And Ellie is a similar way when the stars come out at night. She grew up in the Okanagan where, just like here, you could clearly see the stars at night. And I grew up in the greater Vancouver area where if you were outside at night, you would sort of just pretend you could see different constellations. And now we're here where the stars are super clear. So on the night before garbage day, we take the trash out together. And when we're hauling our smelly trash outside, Ellie will always say to me, "You know, let's just stay out here for a bit. Let's just hold each other and just look at the stars." And you know, I'll think to myself, I just touched garbage. I just want to go inside and wash my hands. And this is before washing your hands is the thing to do. The point I'm trying to make here is that when it's dark, my family is great at reminding me how awesome it is to have light. So now we're going to turn to our text. So as we all watch from home, as a church, like we do when we're together in person, if you're able, would you please stand with me in your kitchen or your living room or your bedroom, wherever you are in your home, and would you turn to John chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 12 to 20. So go ahead and stand to honor God's word. We're reading again, if you're turning in your Bibles at home, we're in John chapter 8, verses 12 to 20. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from, and I know where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself, My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. So let's discuss what's happening in our text. We're continuing where we left off last Sunday with Lydia. In this passage, Jesus is still at the Feast of Tabernacles, and at this festival, the stories of Israel's wilderness wanderings were retold. Last week, Lydia spoke of how the Jewish people would recall God providing water for Israel in the desert with a ceremony of pouring water onto a large stone. And at that time, Jesus declared himself as the never-ending stream of life-giving water. And in our text today, Jesus makes another exalting declaration at this festival, where one other practice ritual was the lighting of lamps in remembrance of God guiding the Israelites through the wilderness by a pillar of fire. And here, Jesus tells the people, "I am the light of the world." He declares himself as the illuminating presence of God. In the Old Testament, light can refer to the knowledge of God or a knowledge from God that illuminates one's way through a dark world. In John's Gospel and in other early Jewish literature, the word light is often associated with truth. So Jesus is telling people here that in him, we will find truth, direction, and God's presence. But Jesus isn't just hyping himself up here. In verse 12, he says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He stresses that following Jesus means never having to walk in darkness. This is not just a large statement, but a really beautiful promise. But the Pharisees have a problem with Jesus' claim in verse 13. It says, the Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." So they challenge Jesus here because they feel his message threatens their authority as religious leaders in Israel. So rather than actually listening to the content of what Jesus is saying, that he's come to offer light to a dark world, they instead rely on a legal technicality to say that Jesus' testimony is not even admissible. They cite a law that requires two people to testify on someone's behalf. Their goal here wasn't to determine whether or not Jesus was truly the light we've been needing. Their goal was to protect the power structures that elevated themselves. Jesus goes on to make two important points. In verse 14, he says, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid," making the point that because of who Jesus is, he could testify for himself and it would be valid. But he also says in verse 16, "I stand with the Father who sent me," and making a second point that his testimony is in fact supported by someone, and that's God the Father. He again asserts that his testimony is sufficient. In verse 18, he says, "I am the one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." The Pharisees don't yet understand what Jesus is saying, and they ask to speak to his Father. And Jesus makes it clear that the Father is available to them through the Son. Jesus is the presence of God right then and there. Whatever the Pharisees asked, as far as they wanted to go with their questions, Jesus, being the embodiment of truth and divine wisdom, had an answer. But they would just keep asking questions that distracted themselves and others from the actual message of Jesus, using their own rationale to understand Christ as the light of the world. But Jesus' revelation about himself wasn't even intended to make the Pharisees look bad. It was to reveal himself to us and to offer us the light of life. So what does it mean to have the light of life offered to us? Well, we've already talked about how the word light in the Bible has been associated with God's presence, God's truth, and God giving direction. The Holy Spirit assures us of God's presence. God's word teaches us and reminds us of his truth. And God the Father provides us direction. He provides our lives direction as we try to align our will with his. But what are some false sources of light? What other things do we depend on, either intentionally or unintentionally, to give us a sense of truth or a sense of direction or a sense of God's presence? Well, when it comes to truth, today it's especially hard to discern what is true and what is untrue. With everyone online, our minds are constantly flooded with tons of information. I find that this overload of info often only makes me feel stressed and worried. We feel like we need to stay informed, but the amount of information we get is too much for us to process on our own. COVID-19 is a great example. We want to stay up to date, but it's easy to spend hours a day browsing Facebook posts about how it's spreading so quickly. And all of a sudden, our staying informed is turned to anxiety and worry. There's a false sense of truth that if we get all the information we can, if we know as much as possible, we will have peace about certain situations. However, once you've reached a certain threshold, the more news you ingest, the heavier your burden. But God's truth doesn't work that way. As you read his word, you hear and read that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. The Holy Spirit gives us peace that transcends all understanding. He makes us lie down in green pastures. You can cast your anxieties on him, for he cares for you. The more of God's truth you ingest, the more peace you'll have. We seek direction for our lives. And when we do, we long for our future to be secure. So we narrow our vision on things like career advancement and financial security. And these themselves are not bad things. In the book of Jeremiah, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." We know that God takes good care of us. But it's important for us to also recognize that God's provision doesn't always look the way we expect it to. I'd be remiss if I didn't point out the fact that many people this week were laid off from their jobs. But if you're included in that group, this does not mean that God's provision has been taken from you. God is still providing for you in different ways. And if you were laid off this week and you're not sure what your next step is, what the next thing you should do is, if you need some direction, remember that Jesus provides to those who follow him the light of life. Like the Israelites, he will light your way and give you direction. So I encourage you to continue following him. He wants to give you hope and a future. And we as a church will be praying that God gives you strength and makes clear your direction. And if we follow Christ, he promises his presence through the Holy Spirit. He welcomes us into a personal relationship with him. But as believers, both young and old, we can sometimes mistake church attendance for God's presence. We sometimes think that being in our church building is the same as welcoming God's presence in our lives. I can tell you, although being a part of a faith community is very important, and it's great to be in this building together, God's presence is not dependent on this building. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling inside the believer. I challenge you to think about how your level of engagement in worship, in prayer, in scripture reading, or in service to others, how your engagement in those things reflects your relationship with the Lord. Especially in a time when we can't be in the church building together, it's a great time to do some self-evaluation and self-reflection. And maybe the Lord will point out to some of us things we've been doing in lieu of welcoming his presence. When we don't have access to things like our Unite prayer services or life groups, youth and young adults, or Tuesday prayer, ask God to make you more aware of his presence right now in your homes. And if this time seems dark, ask the Lord to build up joy in your heart. Ask the Lord to give you a flashlight to play with in the dark. But how do we experience this light? How? The Sunday school teacher in me knows that, or believes that to understand how Jesus is the light of the world, you need to look at the whole gospel. So in the beginning, we lived in God's presence, but we committed sin. And because of the holiness that is required to be in God's presence, sin forced us to be separated from God. So God provided a way for his presence to still dwell among people. He provided them perfect instructions to build a perfect temple to house his perfect presence. But people still had a sin problem, causing further separation from God. But God desired closer relationship with people. And over time, he revealed his plans to prophets to send a savior into the world to fix the sin problem, to stop this growing separation. So God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to become a man and dwell among people. Jesus was God's presence on earth. In the Old Testament, because the wages of sin is death, because separation from God is equal to eternal death, men sacrificed animals that had no marks or blemishes to satisfy God's justice and to seek his forgiveness. But Jesus then died on the cross after living a perfect life with no marks or blemishes, taking the punishment for our sins. And I'm about to spoil the ending of any Easter movies coming out, but on the third day after being killed, Jesus rose again. He was accepted as the perfect sacrifice who also conquered death. And now, if we want to have God's presence with us, we can accept that Jesus has fixed the sin problem. So if we confess our sins and we ask for God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, who took the punishment for our sins, if we accept Jesus' sacrifice and follow him, he allows his presence to dwell in us through the Holy Spirit. And it's not because we don't ever sin anymore, but because Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient payment for our sins, and because the Holy Spirit helps us make life changes as we go forward following Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ brings you from a place of separation from God to having his presence inside of you. That's bringing you from darkness to light. And the Holy Spirit you receive through faith guides you as you try to live this Christian life. He convicts us in our hearts, making clear what parts of our lives need to be surrendered to God still. He sheds light on our personal issues. He's our great counselor and aids us in working through past hurts. When you're in the middle of a day or a season that feels emotionally very dark, he gives us insights into what we're feeling. And the Holy Spirit builds up joy in us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We have a hope and a future in Christ. Eternal life is what's available through Jesus. But he also helps us day to day, now. So I ask you, do you need help day to day? In these days and weeks to come, we may continue to be confined to our homes. The government might even increase our restrictions. Our kids will become bored. We will get annoyed with our kids. Our work will be harder to do from home or might not even get done. We may experience loss. Things may get tighter financially for some of us. But we won't have to deal with God's truth, direction, and presence leaving or changing. Because whoever follows him never has to walk in darkness, even around their house, but will have the light of life. Sometimes when we think of the light, we only think of the moment we received salvation. But we need to think about Jesus being the light in our daily lives. God cares about each small moment and each small area of your life. Whenever I call my siblings on the phone to talk to them, they don't live in Oceanside area, I like to ask, how are you doing physically, spiritually, and emotionally? God cares about how you're doing physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And in the same way Jesus gives us his light, he calls us to partner with him in sharing his light. He tells his disciples in Matthew 5 that as followers of Jesus, we are the light of the world. We are to be Jesus' hands and feet. So let's now be encouraged to share God's light with others right now. Even without large gatherings, there are still ways to do this. You can encourage other believers by calling them to see how they're doing. You can pray for them and their families over the phone. Send out encouraging emails. Just stay in touch. Even over the phone, I believe that when two or three are gathered in his name, there Christ is. Let other Christians know how you're reaching out to people, because there still are outreach opportunities. You can call family members and friends that don't know the Lord and just exemplify Jesus' love and hope. Visits you would usually have in person, have them over video chat now. If you're at a gas station, a post office, a bank, or a drive-thru window, pray that the Lord would give you the words to bless and encourage workers there. You can also shed Jesus' light online by choosing not to add to the panic and instead sharing about the hope you have in Christ. You can pray with authority for people who are sick, and pray for God to show you safe and creative ways to reach out to others. As a church, let's keep praying for each other. Let's pray that God would speak truth to others in isolation and in quarantine. Pray that God would give them direction as they lead and make decisions for their families. And pray that there would be a strong sense of God's presence in the homes of others. I want to leave you with Ephesians 5:8. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. So now I'm just going to pray. Well, God, we thank you for your light. We know that you are the light of the world, Jesus. And we know that you have called us to partner with you in your ministry. So we ask that you would give us boldness and build up love in our hearts for other people. And that you, Holy Spirit, would show us safe and creative ways to connect with one another and to reach out to people who need the Lord. We love you and we thank you for our church. We thank you that the church is not a building, but the church is your people. We love you and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you guys and have a great Sunday, and we look forward to getting together again in person someday soon. Stay safe.